My name is Philip, and I am an alcoholic addict. My sobriety date is October 1st, 05. And it's good to be sober today. It really is. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I grew up in a rural part of Nova Scotia, and I was privileged to be born into a family that was quite dysfunctional. And my dad was an alcoholic, and his dad was an alcoholic, and his dad was an alcoholic. I come from generations of alcoholics. And my grandfather died on the streets of T.O. at the age of 62, and that was quite a while ago, Skid Row. My dad passed away at the young age of 36. He was a very heavy blackout drinker and drug user, and he passed away at 36 years old in front of me. He dropped dead. And I think where my dad left off, that's where when I took off with my disease, actually. I had my first blackout at 11 years old, and I used daily from the age of 13 on for many, many years. I drank a lot, and I used a lot of drugs. And growing up where I grew up, I suffered physical, mental, spiritual, and sexual abuse, and I am a survivor in many ways. And the only reason that I can share that tonight is because I did work the steps, and I got honest, and I did a thorough inventory of myself, and I have a really good sponsor, and I have peace today with all of that, with the childhood stuff. It took a long time. I'm 49 years old. I continued to use drugs and alcohol, mostly alcohol. I never really used drugs unless I had been drinking. Kind of lowered my inhibition, and I was able to go that route. Alcohol created a lot of chaos in my life. I was a binge drinker, so I had some sense of what life could be like, and I was able to maintain sobriety for short, too long periods of time before I would think I could have a drink, because I suffer from fuzzy thinking, you know, and I keep forgetting about the things that happened previous when I drank. And so I would, after a couple of years of being sober on my own, I would pick up the bottle again, and it kind of progressed like a couple one night, and three or four the next night, and then a case, and then the 2-4, and so on and so forth, until I got in trouble again, and then I would stop altogether. And this went on for many, many years. And part of my story is that I got involved around 28 years old with cocaine through the drinking and partying. I was introduced to cocaine, and I lasted about 2 years, and at the age of 30, I checked into this religious organization, and I got clean for 2 years, and then I got out of that, and I maintained to keep clean till I was about 36, and then I started using again. But all along, my disease was manifesting itself into workaholism, because I started 4 businesses, and I worked my 7 days a week and 12 to 14 hours a day. So my disease has always been alive in me, and when I'm not using, it's manifesting itself in some other area in my life. And with the help of the program, I'm able to keep a cap on that, and the awareness is there for me so that I can see that when I'm becoming obsessive or compulsive in some area in my life. And that's why I continue to go to meetings, because I need the support of the fellowship to be able to control that. I believe that. And so when I was 36, I went through a divorce. I managed to get married and around 32 years old, and had two beautiful, beautiful children. And I was really blessed with my wife. She's a wonderful, wonderful mom, and we share two beautiful children. Although she's in Quebec City and I'm here, but the divorce was a catalyst for me to go out and use, and I went out hard, and I went out for years, and I ended up getting cleaned up there, maybe 1 year, 2 years, and I'm getting up towards 40 years old now, so I've been out for 4 years, and I end up getting in some trouble, because I had this compulsion to drink and drive. I thought I could really drive well, and I couldn't when I was drinking. And my real first introduction to AA was through a judge, and because I had smashed up a car. And he did a pre-sentence report on me that went and filtered into the community where I was living, and they talked to some people who I suggested they might talk to. And it came back that I suffer from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When I add alcohol to my being, something happens. I turn into a total different person. And I believe that. I know it to be the truth, because I lived with a person that, growing up, that did that. My dad was a really good guy until he added alcohol, and then he would do really insane things. And I was the recipient of a lot of those things. I'm really truly blessed that my children have never seen me under the influence. And my son is 14 and my daughter is 16, and that is a miracle. And so in retrospect, I believe that the divorce, you know, it was from God, because God knew that he didn't want those children to experience that. Not that they may not have the disease, because my son is showing signs of it already, and that saddens me. But I'm also encouraged, and I have hope for him because of this program, right? Because my dad didn't make it, and neither did my grandfather. They never made it to the rooms of AA. And so I feel truly blessed to be here and to be a member of AA. I came to Montreal when I was in 2000, and I started a business here, and it was to get closer to my children. And I was in a relationship at the time, and I wasn't happy, and I didn't know how to get out of it. And so I knew one way: I would start drinking again, and that always made everything around me disappear. People that I loved, people that I didn't love, you know, they disappeared when I started drinking. And that happened to this relationship, and I moved out and got on my own, and had a beautiful place. Everything was going well. My business had taken off, and I started to dabble with the cocaine again. And within about a short 6 months, I was on the street with nothing. I was a low bottom, and that was my bottom in life, actually. I ended up on the streets here in Montreal, and I spent 2 years on the streets, and it was a place of despair for me, and I lost all hope, and I couldn't stop drinking, and I couldn't stop drugging, and I couldn't stop hating myself. I couldn't stop feeling ashamed. I couldn't stop feeling guilty. and I wanted to die. And so after spending 2 years on the streets, this is just under three years ago, I took off from here and I went out west, and with the intent to die. I wanted to go out there and commit suicide because I didn't want my kids to hear about it. I wanted it just to be found out many, many days or months or years later that I had done this to myself, because I was so ashamed of my being. And I went out there. I couldn't stop using. I started working. I started using again. And I had never, ever felt so much despair as I did there. I didn't know anybody. I didn't want to know anybody. And I didn't have the guts to kill myself. And that's when I had a spiritual intervention, actually. I met somebody. I was sitting alone in the middle of a parking lot, and I saw a man standing there praying, actually. I didn't know what he was doing, but he had been praying. And I went over and I told him the trouble that I was in, and he put out his hand and he said that he was the director of, it's called the Breakout Program, and it's a recovery program for men, and he invited me to join that. And that's when I started my journey in recovery. What that did for me is it gave me time out, and it gave me a time to get honest and to clean up and to get to the bottom of the things that really, really kept me from being who I've been created to be. So I got into that program, and we were 45 men, and two of us today are clean from the 45. And there's been hundreds that have gone through that program and not made it. The numbers aren't good. The stats aren't for the people that enter in. They're against us, actually. And it's only by the grace of God that I made it, because I was done. I was done with the drugging and the drinking and all of that. And I had surrendered. I was willing to do anything that they suggested that I do. One of the things they suggested was that I find a home group. And I did. I went to a lot of meetings. I did my group activities during the day, and in the evening I went to a meeting and I had a paper signed, and I continued that. And I did a lot of volunteering work, and I spent a year just focusing on getting to know myself, getting to know what was driving me in the direction of destruction. I went through that group, and then I moved into residence, and I got an apartment. And I didn't work, because before I used to focus on, okay, I'll get clean and then I'll just go to work and I won't address the real issues. So I was afforded a time where I could look at this stuff that was driving me, these secrets and all of this stuff that I've compiled over the years from my drinking and drugging, and that needed to be cleaned up and some understanding brought to it, you know. And I was truly blessed out there in Edmonton, and I got a spiritual guide. I've got a home group out there. And they're still my home group today, although I have one here in Montreal now, because I've been here for just over 6 months. And I have a sponsor out there that is going to be celebrating 30 years, you know, and he went through the steps with me. And I also had a therapist, because there was a lot of sexual abuse in my childhood that I suffered, and I needed some clarity on that, you know, and I needed help with all of that. And so the program of AA gave me the foundation. And God, he works in wonderful ways in my life. I'll tell you, I had my therapy on Friday afternoon for 1 year at 3 o'clock. And I would go there, and I would come out of there, and I would be an emotional mess. because of the stuff that I was looking at, you know, at this SACE, it's called, and it's a sexual assault center of Edmonton. And I needed to deal with this stuff. And then God, you know, the home group, I didn't know when I had my home group that I would be going through this therapy at this time. But every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I would walk into my home group and I would feel love and acceptance and nurturing and just stuff that I wasn't used to. And that just carried me right through all of this therapy that I needed, right, to bring order to all of that stuff that happened in my childhood and that I had never looked at. So I just, like, that was a miracle in itself, that God had set that up in that way. So I had a sponsor, I had a therapist, I had a spiritual guide, a chaplain Ed, and he is just a wonderful, wonderful man that just loves and cares about people with addictions. He was heading up this breakout program, and breakout, it's break out of the darkness and come into the light. That's sort of what they were saying with that program. So I was the recipient of that, and I am truly, truly blessed. And so I did that, and I stayed in the program out there for 2 years, and then I just moved back here, like I said, six months ago. So I'm coming up on 3 years, and it's only because of the fellowship, you know. I had gone through a lot of stuff here in Montreal, and I had a lot of fear with coming back here. But I knew that I needed to come back and I needed to clean up some of the wreckage of my past here. And that's why I am here. You know, and I have made amends to my children and we're sort of working that whole thing out still. I mean, it's only been 6 months, right? And I had been gone for quite a while out of their life. The program and the steps have really turned everything around for me. You know, I'm not a real avid reader of the big book. I've read it a few times, but my sponsor always keeps referring to passages in it, and I go there and I read it. And that's why I think it's so important that I do have a sponsor, right? And that I maintain my relationship with him and my spiritual guide, and these are the things that I need in my life, and I also need the fellowship, and I need people in recovery to call, and I need them to call me, and those are the things that I've surrounded myself with here in NDG. I've really grown fond of the fellowship here. I can't walk down the street or drive anywhere in NDG or the surrounding areas without running into a member. The fellowship, I believe, is really, it's vibrant, it's alive, it's large, and it's welcoming, because I was an outsider and I came here with a lot of fear, like I mentioned before. And part of the fear was that I would use here. Because I have a history here. I was on the streets here in Montreal when I was a young teenager. And I used a lot while I was here. And there was always a fear that I came back here, I'd end up using. And that's what happened around 2000. I came back and I didn't have a foundation of recovery. And I ended up going out. And I ended up back on the streets. Today, I live without fear about living here in Montreal, and it's because of the fellowship. And I'll tell you, when I first got here, I did 3 meetings a day. I wasn't working, but I needed the support that's here in this fellowship around NDG, because I'm not bilingual, and I don't speak French. And the fellowship has carried me through. I've made really strong relationships and ties here, and I guess I am forever thankful for that. I don't know how long I will live in Montreal, but I'm going to be here for a while, and I'm going to be a part of this fellowship, And so I want to thank all of you for being here this evening and for sharing this time with me. Thank you.